We're looking at a passage in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It'll be up here in the NIV if you want to use that. If you've got your smartphone, want to look on that. If you want to tweet out, do anything you can. That's all right with me, but it's Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. We're going to look at that, and then we'll kind of unpack part of this. And I've also mentioned that I'm following the lectionary as we're going through these sermons, particularly in Lent, and there's usually a gospel and a letter that you can choose from, and I've chosen the gospel every other time except for this one, and there was a great gospel lesson this week that I could have preached on, John 3, 1 through 16. Hey, that's pretty cool. That's a fantastic lesson. But this was so powerful, and this was so foundational to who we are. There's such deepness and such theology in there as we think about grace. And so let's look at this. I'll read it through, and then we'll kind of unpack it a little bit. But Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we're dead in transgression, because it is, read this with me, it is by grace you have been saved. Say that again. It is by grace you have been saved. Oh, that is so important. It's so important for us to know. It's not anything we do. It's what was done for us. It's by grace we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's a word of God for the people of God. Let all of God's people say amen. Amen. All right. So I want to put this statement up right at the very first, because I just have to give it away at the very beginning. You've been saved for the purpose of good works. Say that with me. You've been saved for the purpose of good works. Say it. I've been saved for the purpose of good works. And we need to remember that, because sometimes, particularly as I get into some of the fall and some of the atonement stuff that I'm about to, sometimes we lose sight that we've been saved for something, for the purpose of good works. As I said, I've got to do some fun things here recently. I have a great life. And sometimes I don't realize how blessed I am, but, you know, I just got back from Honduras, and that was awesome. I'm about to go to Guatemala here in a couple of weeks, three or four weeks, and that's going to be awesome. And got to play with lemurs. But a couple of weeks ago, I got to be the MC and host of this this benefit concert for raising money for Imagine No Malaria. It's a big movement to try to eliminate malaria. I mean, it is 100% we can cure. We have in the United States, we can do it worldwide. And so it's a pretty lofty goal, trying to raise $100 million. Through this three-year campaign. We're trying to raise $1 million right here in North Georgia. And so, you know, there's a lot going on. So there is a woman who is a legend in the music industry. How many of y'all have heard of Francine Reed? Francine Reed, gospel, blues. She's 67 years old now, but she's a member of Georgia Music Hall of Fame. She's awesome. And so they asked her to do a benefit concert, which she said yes to, and then they asked me to host it. I don't know why. I guess maybe they thought that I was the right combination of funny, and I didn't mind asking people for money. So I don't know. But so we did this thing. And so as I got to know Francine, and I asked her about, you know, how she came to commit to do this, because I'm sure with all her busy schedule that she gets asked. I mean, she tours with Willie Nelson, and she's toured with Etta James, and she's You know, she was in Lyle Lovett's big band, and she's done all these incredible things. And, you know, her schedule's very busy, and I'm sure people ask her for her time all the time. Why did she commit to this thing? She said this. Write this down. This is great. She said, I prayed about it, and when I pray something and God leads me to do something, I will turn my heart and my hand to do it. I will turn my heart and my hand to do it. How many times do people say, well, I pray, I'm praying to with you with my heart, but yeah, but we need our hands too. We've been saved for the purpose of good works. The very, very first church I ever pastored, I was youth director and did some worship leadership stuff in some other churches, but the first one I was ever called to be the pastor, about 75 people, a little church in Cherokee County called Holly Springs, and there was a man in that church named Arnold Fowler. He was about 85 years old. We'd have about 75 people in worship, but every Sunday going out, he'd shake my hand. He'd say, God has saved me to do something. I believe God has saved me to do something. And God has saved every single one of you, every single one of us, to do something, to do good works for God. Now, however, as we look in the very first part of this passage, we see some things about what the problem with us doing those good works was. And it has to do with our fallen nature. There's a Greek word where you see the italicized word followed there, and it's peripatou. Peripatou. And it basically translates as this. It's, for you were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you, and then that Greek word, which is translated followed here, it could be walked, it can be some other things, but it's broader and deeper and richer than that. It almost connotates this other sphere that we were in, you know. It's kind of like the Matrix. I could say that in this congregation, in this service. You know, it's like our eyes were thinking that there was a different reality, and God saved us out of that reality and placed us in a new reality. It's like a biosphere kind of thing. That's what the Greek word is really implying there. You know, it's far beyond just walking or following and making a decision. We were like plucked out of something. And ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. I used in the traditional service, and I will again at 11, a liturgy during the confession, and it talks about forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. And that's really kind of the bottom line of what it is we're being called out to do. You know, we've been forgiven, renewed, and led. And now, listen, it's delight in God's will as we walk in His way. But, you know, it talks about that we were, you know, in this other biosphere. We were in this other dimension of the Matrix. And so just how bad was that fall? Every Christian denomination, every Christian non-denomination, all Christians, we talk about the fall. And we talk about it sometimes, I think, with different emphasis and different terms. And particularly as you follow history, and as it gets more and more in what I would say the modern realm and the modern way of thinking things, we've come to think of it in maybe a way that maybe Scripture doesn't quite address it. Think of this in three times. Think of three word pictures and three images. When we talk about how bad was the fall, okay? Dr. Paul, Paul's writing here. How bad was the fall? Were we a corpse? Were we just very wounded and crippled and needed some help and some healing to get up and to be able to walk, but we weren't completely dead? Or were we, in fact, good people? We just needed to see the light and needed sort of like a bridge or like a stepladder to ascend and get higher and higher. And you see each of those things sometimes emphasized in people's writings and people's theologies and people's preaching, you know. Just how bad was the fall? Well, what does Paul say? What does this scripture say? It says, did I not put that in there? In the next one? No, I didn't. Okay, so what does it say? It says that we were what? Dead. We were dead in our sins. It was like a corpse. And so that's how bad that fall was. Martin Luther was debating somebody one time who was sort of a humanist during that era, and the humanist said, well, you know, it is sort of like that we were like a toddler, you know, we would lose our way when we're learning to walk, and that every time we would fall, that God would be there to catch us. And that was sort of the image that he was painting of what this the fall was. And there's something very tender about that, right? Because God does catch us. And so I said, Martin Luther, what is it like? And he said, it is like that we were a caterpillar in the middle of a ring of fire, and God reached in and plucked us out. That's how lost we were. That's how lost we were. And yet, sometimes when we only talk about how bad we were and how lost we were and how, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, we miss a bigger picture that Paul is trying to paint here in this. It's what I call the MPS. We've got MPS, moral perfection syndrome. God demands moral perfection, and we can't do enough good stuff, and we sin because we've all fallen short. And because we're not perfect, we are in big divine trouble. Jesus needs to save us and forgive us because of what we can't do. We can't do, and don't lose sight of this, we cannot save ourselves. We had to be saved, okay? We can't do that. But that's not where it stops. We are, as it ends in 2:10, and we see that Greek verb coming again, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared when? In advance. After we became a Christian? No, in advance. God created us to do good works. And that word handiwork, that can be translated in a lot of different ways. It's used, you know, that verb comes up lots of times or in the New Testament. It could mean God's poem. How cool is it that we could be God's poem? God is writing something into our lives. We are God's masterpiece. Look at your fingers. Look at your fingerprints. You know that those are unique. You've heard that your whole life. God created you that way. And you have God's fingerprints all over you. You are covered with the fingerprints of God. And because of that, you are so much more than what your worst mistake was. You know, all of us have screwed up at some point in our lives. You are so much more than that. You are so much more than whatever addiction or habit that you struggle with and continue to struggle with, and you beat yourself up with it every day and you can't believe that you're still struggling with it. Well, listen, you may struggle with it the rest of your life, but that is not who you are. You are so much more than that. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's handy priest, and you have been created for good works. And God prepared them, and you have no idea what God is going to do. Now, who's going to do it? You or Jordan? Jordan. Okay. So here, one of God's masterpieces is going to come up and talk about how she's serving God. How do you? She just turned 17. It's this young lady. What a testimony she has. But you know what? All of you do too. But I'm going to let her talk about what she's going to be doing in the next couple of weeks, what they're going to be doing. Here, go.
I just want to start out by saying that all of us have a calling and a purpose. And so sometimes we're called, and we're called here to serve in our own communities, but then sometimes God calls us to go out and go to the ends of the earth. And so it's all about where God is calling you and where he's telling you to go. And so God has been calling us back to Haiti many, many times, and so this will be our fourth trip to go. And I just want to thank everybody who helped us with our previous trip in October and with the water filtration systems. And with the money that we raised at this church, along with another group that went down, we impacted over 6,000 lives with clean water. And they're able to go get their water, and it's a vital resource that we all need. They're able to do that without fear of sickness, and able to provide that for their children now. So, and there's also, we had a Haiti report and had little thank you cards, so that will be down at the information desk if you'd like to go grab one at the end of service. And so we're actually returning to Haiti. We'll be leaving next Sunday, and it'll be just my mom and I, and we'll will be primarily in Port-au-Prince, which is the capital of Haiti. And so the area that we will be working in is Cité Soleil. And Cité Soleil is a tent city, and it is the poorest area in the Western Hemisphere. And so in Cité Soleil, we've met a pastor, and he has a school there. And he has just taken in kids off the street, and some of them are orphaned, and some of them are just from that area. And he is providing schooling for them, which is can completely change their lives. And so when we were talking with them, we were trying to figure out what they needed at their school and what we could help them with. And the biggest thing they need is a hot meal every day. These children don't really eat breakfast. And if they go to school, they don't eat at school. And then they go home and they might have a small dinner with their family, whatever their parents can provide. So I can't imagine going to school and not eating and having to learn on an empty stomach. So our goal is to be able to go and provide them with a hot lunch. And that hot lunch would be a bowl of rice and beans and a chicken leg. And that's like a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner for them. It's very, very, it's a treat for them. And so to feed a child for an entire month is only $20. It's about $1 a day to feed a child for a month. So that is one of the things we're going to do. And then we're also going to team up with another church that'll be down there at the same time as us. And work in the Mariana dump. And there, people go there and they forage for food and different things that they can go and sell back in the city. And so we want to go there, and our primary focus there is going to be evangelism and just telling them why we have this hope, so we can share that with them. Because, and then also share food with them, so we can show them the love of Jesus and then tell them about it. Because if we're just telling them about it and they're starving, they can't, it's hard to listen to that kind of stuff. So, and then we're also going to be staying at New Life Children's Home, which is an orphanage and rescue center there, and working with the children. There's lots of handicapped children there, so we'll be working with them, and then also just the other children that are there and just loving on them for the week. So, and again, throughout all of this, we're going to be sharing the hope of Jesus and sharing these things that we learned this morning from Pastor Dave. So, but we're carrying these things along with us to help them care for their physical needs, but also their spiritual needs. So, as I said again, we are leaving next Sunday. So if you would like to donate, please pray about it first. And please don't let this affect your tithe to the church. We don't want to take away at all from the church. So let it be an offering, whatever God prompts you to do. So please pray about it. And if you would like to donate, we are leaving next Sunday, so it has to be before then. So just whatever you feel that God is leading you to do. And again, we can't thank you so much for your previous support.
Yes, and let me just say this. I really appreciate you guys saying that, and you've always been upfront about that. It's, you know, not to come out of our regular tithes and offerings, but this is over and above. But look, it's $20. $20 to sponsor a kid. There may be someone in this room, I don't want to speak for everybody, that $20 is going to be too much. But I dare say that that's most of us. We can do $20 in this room. Well, we got 100 so people, give or take, we can save 100 lives. We can make sure 100 kids before we leave today have meals. That's significant. That is good works. So I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give, as a start, $20. And so I'd like to challenge everybody else in here to try to find a way to do it. If you can put it in cash or check somehow or another to designate it some way in some envelope so that we know that it goes there. If you do a check, put Haiti on there. If you do cash, I don't know how to tell you to do that. We got our finance person. Should we do cash? An envelope so that we can have that signaled out for that. If you need to do an IOU and come back up here tomorrow or Tuesday, because it's going to take them a couple of days to write the check, it doesn't need to wait to Saturday, write an IOU so that you'll do it. Say $20 for Haiti, okay? Let's do this thing, because those are good works. And we begin to see this change and transformed world. And okay, I'm going to take a risk here with this silly illustration right here of what I saw yesterday in this sort of peaceable kingdom where deer walked around like big affectionate dogs. You know, like there was an encounter I didn't do. There was a wolf encounter there. You could go and play with wolves there. That's crazy. And sign me up. It's North Georgia Zoo. They rescue animals, but they have exotic animals. And they supervise you with a lemur play. But, I mean, it is this picture of all creation together, you know. So, all right, it's working. I like the old amens. That makes me feel good. But you know, together we can begin to move the world in that direction. Together we can change the world, and we are little bit by little bit by little bit. I want you to think about, what happened in Selma last weekend. And we still got a ways to go. Lord, help us. Things that have been in the news, we still got a ways to go. But just people can make a difference. And, you know, it was a lot of people, the evangelical Christians, and I knew some of the pastors and their heroes who stood up and did the right thing back then. Going back, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace and that great movie. John Wesley and John Newton and Wilbur Wilberforce were all great friends. Wilbur Wilberforce, if you saw the movie Amazing Grace, he was the person who stopped the slave ships from England. He got the legislation through, but to watch the God's call on those people alive. John Newton was a former slave ship captain. And I don't know if this is a direct quote from John Newton or not, something they just wrote in the movie, but I bet you he would have said it. And he said, I'm getting older. He was blind towards the end of his life. And Wilberforce goes to meet him to ask his advice. And he goes, and he's blind, and he says, "My memory is slipping, but there are two important things that I remember." You remember this part of the movie? Two important things I remember. That I am a great sinner and God is a great Savior. I am a sinner. And Wilbur Wilberforce, the earlier part in the movie, he's out, and because I kind of like this St. Francis thing with the animals and stuff myself, I know this, but he has stopped going to the sessions of Parliament, and he just stayed out in his garden, and he's got all these animals, and he's playing, and his butler comes out, and he says, "What's going on?" And he says, "Well, I'm meeting with somebody." He says, "Well, who are you meeting with?" He says, "God." He says, "Okay, so you found God." And he says, "No, it's more like God has found me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. God has found you. You may not have even accepted that in your life. But while we were yet sinners, the Bible tells us, Christ died for us. Christ died for us so that we could do these good works that God created for us." My friend Stephen, when he was in jail, prison, I know there's some frustrating times for him, but the good works and the great things that have come out of his life and his family's life since that time. You have no idea how God is going to use you. You are a blessing. You are God's masterpiece. Never, ever, ever lose sight of that or forget. Let's pray. God, we're thankful that we were here this morning. We felt you at work in our singing, in our speaking, in our greeting one another, but more so, God, in those places, those little niches we can't even put into words. You are at work in this room. And I believe, God, that there's somebody here in this room today who you are speaking to in a very powerful way. And they came in maybe even casually in this service today, not knowing what to expect. And to make this kind of commitment to you was the last thing they expected to do. But you are calling them to step out in faith in a big way. They're having a hard time believing it because of their image of who they are and what they've done. Pray, oh God, that they can see you with the lens of grace, and so that they can see themselves through your eyes. Release us, release who these people are, oh God, to do your good works. And just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, just as sort of an act that did, what I just prayed made sense to you and you felt like that might have been for you, if you just slip up your hand so that I can know that I'm not crazy. Thank you. Thanks. All right. God's working. And there's a good many people here. And so take those next steps of faith. You need a conversation with a pastor or a friend. There's a couple of pastors here and lots of friends here. And we'd love to share the journey with you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.